shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
You don't boo your team. You know, I don't care what happens.
Trying to catch my breath so I don't refer to this maneuver.
By its adoption of House Resolution 1737.
What he did tell me was whoever did the shooting in this case was proficient.
Students at Marinette High School are safe. We were in a very tragic
situation. Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
That is a threat on the radio. World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we take you through the looking glass and beyond to go places other talk shows cannot go, would not go, should not go. Don't try it at home. Don't try it in your radio studio. We'll take care of it for you. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be talking here in a moment with Darrell Weber, a former player in the National Football League, played with the Kansas City Chiefs back in the 1980s. We'll be talking about booing and a Giant safety, one of the New York Giant football players, Antrell Roll, compared booing football players to booing soldiers when they return from war. If you're ready for that, so join us here in just a second. We'll have Mr. Weber on the phone. Our web address, philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of the show right now, along with all kinds of archive material. You cannot enjoy this radio show without also, really joining the future, if you want, and that is the multimedia platform that is our show. We're on the radio. We're also on the internet. We have video as well as audio. We have audio archives, downloads. We got it all. PhilHendryShow.com. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and joining us from Kansas City is Darrell Weber. Darrell, how are you, sir? It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. Have me on your program. Thank you.
And you played pro ball from when to when?
I was drafted in 81, and I played with Kansas City for 8 years. My last season was 1988.
1988? I can't hear you if you could speak up.
Yes, sir. My last season was 1988.
Did you hear the comments of Mr. Roll?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me what you think?
Well, he's a young man who is going to be he's going to be emotional. He's going to talk about frustration playing football. It's very frustrating. It is a very physical sport, and there's no question about that. And it is a very dangerous sport, and there's no question about that. I think that the way he put it, it might have been put in a way that's not going to be disrespectful, to our soldiers coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. It is true, I think, though, that what we do and what I did and what young people today do in the National Football League is comparable to, a soldier coming back from war, only from the standpoint that we do risk our lives,
Well, you risk your life. I understand that there's the potential of life-ending injury when you play football. There's no question about that. But to say, do you think it is unpatriotic for the fans to boo football players?
I think that it is. What we do on a football field is similar to what a soldier does, and this is what I mean by that. We give the American people, we give people in America a sort of reinforce the manhood and the the grit of the country. What we do on a football field is we make it so that the American people come out and reinforce the American dream. And that is every bit as important as going into battle in Iraq or Afghanistan and killing Al-Qaeda or some of these insurgents. And we do that at the risk of our lives. And we do that. We risk our lives out there on the field each and every day. And so when soldiers come home from Iraq, you don't boo them. And we take our job seriously, so you don't boo us either. And that's all he's trying to say. I think that what we do and what the soldier does in Afghanistan and what the soldier does in Iraq, we're not asking for people to build us a statue or this kind of thing. What we're asking for is respect, because we're out there doing something for you that you can't do for yourself, and that's to bring you a sense of manhood, a sense of country, you know.
Well, all right. I understand what a soldier does for this country. I understand what soldiers who are risking their lives. But you're comparing what football players do to soldiers, and I'm not quite getting the comparison, okay? You're saying that...
But what I'm saying is that a football player risks his life the same way a soldier does. And we risk our life so that when you look at a football game on Sunday, you have your manhood and your sense of national identity reinforced.
And well, what about females who watch football?
Women, the same thing. They have reinforced in them the sense that they're protected by a... they're protected by a country that honors the kind of manhood that we put on display on a football field on Sunday. So because you pay an amount of money for a ticket to come in and watch me risk my life, that is where you're right then. You know, you don't have a right to sit there and boo at me. What you do have a right to do is to come in and watch as I put my life on the line for you. And that's all we're saying. If you are a soldier in Iraq and
okay, I'm going to interrupt you here for just a second. A soldier in Iraq and Afghanistan, nobody's paying to watch admission to watch them.
That is true, and that is only because you can't. It is practically impossible for you to put grandstands up in Afghanistan or a grandstand up in Iraq and show soldiers what they're doing. So you can't charge admission for something like that, but you can charge admission to watch what the soldiers do in Iraq and Afghanistan. You can watch them do the same thing here in America by watching me or watching Antrell Roll. And that is risk our lives for this country. And so you pay to come in because you can't go to Iraq and see it, you see.
Because I can't go to Iraq and see this kind of display of masculinity and manhood, I go to a football game.
That is correct. You go to a football game to watch this display of American strength and manhood that literally can kill me and kill another football player. If you want to pay money for a ticket to come in and watch me, you absolutely have every right in the world to do that. But you cannot disrespect me because you don't have the same situation that I'm looking at. You know, I'm looking at losing my life every weekend when I'm playing football. I look at losing my life every week. And I lose my life so that you can sit in a grandstand and feel good about your team, feel good about your country, you know, feel good about America, you know. In the meantime, if I break my neck or I break my back or they carry me off the field, that's the last that I'm ever going to live as a human being, you know, but I did that for you. And when a soldier come back from Iraq or a soldier come back from Afghanistan, all we're saying, players of the NFL or the soldiers coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, is you don't boo us. You don't tell us, oh, you ain't dying good enough. And you don't say that you ain't getting your neck broke good enough. And you ain't saying you ain't getting your back broke good enough. You would never do that. And so I would appreciate it, and that's why I agree with what he said, essentially.
Well, what would you disagree? So Antrell Roll is essentially in spirit or in the point of fact, it's something you agree with, right?
I agree with the idea you should not boo. I don't think this young man understood exactly why he was saying what he was saying, because he's just a very young player, you know, and he's just starting out, and he doesn't get really what it's about. He just doesn't like people booing him. He has a sense he's out there going to get himself killed. He don't like people booing him. I agree, though, that you don't boo people that are risking their lives for you.
And well, it's the first time that I've heard that anybody would say that an NFL player...
I understand that.
Yeah, is risking his life for me.
I understand that, though, because I don't think anyone has put it as succinctly or clearly, but the players in the National Football League risk their lives for you all the time. Okay, I risk myself out there on the field each and every day when I'm playing. When the soldiers come home from Iraq and Afghanistan, they're risking their lives. You don't boo them, you don't boo me. Otherwise, what you do is then you take it to a level where I can't go out on the field and play if you are going to boo me, and basically saying, you know, I want you to go out and risk your life, and while you're risking your life and getting your life in jeopardy, I also want to make fun of you and laugh at you and boo you.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. On the line with us is, and hold the line for Mr. Weber, Darrell Weber with us, former football player in the National Football League, as he talks about Antrell Roll, who was a young man to compare booing players to booing soldiers. As a matter of fact, this past weekend is when he made these comments. And let's listen to what he had to say just before we go to our break. This is Antrell Roll. He was mocked this week after this interview with a New York sports station saying it's never okay to boo your home team and you should always show loyalty.
You don't boo your team. You know, I don't care what happens. You know, you don't boo your team. I mean, and that's, you know, this is your home team. You know, we're out there playing. We're out there, you know, pouring our heart out for our team as well as for our fans. You don't boo your team. You know, I don't care what the situation is. You don't boo your team. You know, we're 7-4. You know, we're not 2-10. You know, we're 7-4. You know, I mean, there's going to be ups and downs during the course of the season. Under any circumstances, should you boo your team?
All right. So, and there was Darrell Weber agreeing, saying you don't boo your team because these guys are risking their life for you the same way soldiers do. All right. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in Kansas City. This evening is Darrell Weber, a former player with the Kansas City Chiefs. And you played defensive back like Antrell Roll, correct?
Yeah, well, I played in a strong safety position. I think he is a cornerback. He might be a cornerback or free safety. I played strong safety for ages.
All right, so you played a strong safety, so people know, is like a defensive back that plays the run.
Come up, yeah, on a short play a lot more. Everybody comes up on a running play, but we are more so than a free safety. And we're the strong side safety. A free safety is somebody that we're going to generally is your center field, what we call a center fielder. Somebody's going to the last line of defense, you know.
Okay. Is there something to that position? The reason why I asked, Darrell, is there something to that position that would cause you to be hypersensitive to booze?
No, not at all.
So every player,
every position on the football field is a potentially a dangerous position to play, and every position you're on when you play in football is potentially a life-threatening position. And just like every soldier who's up against Al Qaeda or up against in Iraq, they're going to potentially die. And so when we go out onto the field, and I know that I may not see my family again. I know that I may not see my wife, and I've got a wife, and I've got two children now, and they were babies back when I played. I might not ever see them again. They might not see me again. And I got to take that all into consideration. I go out and play on a Sunday afternoon, and then you have, after the game, you have a post-game situation where you are humiliated, and you have the boo, people laughing and booing. While you are risking your life for them, and
when you talk about risking your life for them, is the part that I you know.
Well, I don't understand what is difficult to understand about that. I mean, I'm going out on the football field, and I'm risking my life on Sunday afternoon so you can feel good about yourself. Not being an American and having some manhood, and because most guys watch football so they can get a little bit of manhood to get them into the week, you know. And
I never thought of it that way. I never thought of watching football as something that reinforces my manhood.
Well, it may not be conscious, but that's exactly what's happening. It is giving you a shot of manhood, and you're getting that manhood while I'm risking my life to bring it to you. I'm risking my life. I go out there, and I could die and never see my family again, just so you can have a little bit of manhood to get you through Monday or Tuesday. And I think that was what Antrell was talking about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show as we get into the minds, the workings of a professional football player. Here is Marcy in Bloomington, Bloomington, Illinois. Marcy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Darrell Weber.
Hi, yes. I wanted to call and say football players are there for entertainment. Troops are actually risking their lives to keep us safe and for our freedom. My husband is in the Army, and he has lost two of his best friends over there, and you're trying to compare him to a football player?
Well, I'm not saying anything other than the following thing, Marcy. I'm saying that when I go on a football field and when I played, I'm retired now, but when I went on a football field, I risked my life, too. I saw young men go down with broken necks. I've seen young men go down with a broken back. I've seen young men paralyzed for life. Darrell Stingley is one, and some of these other players that I could mention to you. So I risk my life, I risk my mobility, my locomotion, however you want to put it, to be able to, so that your husband, you know, or your brothers or whoever can feel like men for 48 hours into the week, you know. That's all I'm saying.
And I agree, nobody should get booed, but at the same time, you cannot compare a football player to a soldier.
Well, would you boo? You would not boo a soldier, I take it.
I wouldn't, no.
Well, what, Marcy, would you boo a soldier? You wouldn't boo a soldier because you got soldiers in your family, correct?
I'm just saying.
Can that lady hear me? Can you hear me, ma'am? Would you boo a soldier?
Would I? No.
Marcy, can you hear? No, she wouldn't.
All right. So neither would you boo a
football
player. Neither would you boo a football player. You would not boo a football player because booing a football player is like laughing at a man whose neck is broken. And you don't find that funny, do you?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, then that's what I'm trying to say.
But at the same time, you guys are making a lot of money, and you're trying to say that you're like, you know, you might get killed tomorrow.
Yes,
and you're making a lot of money. You get to go home to your families and stuff. They're over there for a year. They don't get to see their families. They don't make a lot of money. And you're trying to compare that to a soldier. That's so wrong.
Well, most of us are not married. Most of us at that time were single men, so we had no family to come home to. You know, we live in an apartment because the team signs us and we're in a new city. And then this money you're talking about, you don't make that unless you live. If you can survive 4 or 5 years, then you start to make the big money. You come as a rookie, you don't make any money at all. And if I die tomorrow, say my second year in football, I'm a dead man making about the same money that a soldier makes.
Oh, come on. You're not telling me the NFL's got a minimum salary of... What's the minimum salary in the NFL?
I don't know what it is, Phil.
What was it when you were playing?
I think minimum was probably about $100,000, $150,000 a year.
150 grand a year. No soldier makes that.
No soldier makes that. But he gets all of his food. He gets to carry a gun to protect himself. What do I protect myself with? Yeah. See.
What do you mean, what do you protect yourself with? I am blown away right now.
Wait a minute. What do I protect myself with if a man wants to come out there and break my neck? Nothing.
Don't play.
I have to play because if I don't play, your husband, your brothers don't have manhood.
This whole manhood thing is an interesting...
My husband has a lot of manhood.
Yeah, and why does he have manhood? Because he watches himself some football on Sunday afternoon, that's why.
Because that's what we're talking about. No, my husband doesn't watch
that's
football,
exactly why.
Actually.
He watches football
on
Sunday. He doesn't watch football.
My husband does not watch football.
What did you say,
ball? He volunteers for the Boy Scouts, and
he watches T-ball?
No, she said her husband doesn't watch football.
Forgive me for saying this, ma'am. You know what football is, right?
Yes. He knows what football is, but at the same time...
Do you know what football is? Because if you don't know what football is, you may have the sports confused that he doesn't watch.
I'm sorry, you know, but I don't think that people get manhood from football. I think they get
if he doesn't watch basketball, you may not think that that's football is not basketball. You know that, right?
What are you saying? This lady doesn't know what football is? You know what football is, right, Marcy? It's the one where they wear the helmets and the pads. Yes, she knows. Well, he thinks that you've got it confused.
Ma'am, I'm just saying, if you have it confused with basketball, you may not know what it is your husband doesn't look at. But we've got a country full of men who need to know what manhood is. And if they don't have manhood,
what manhood is,
but I'm dying. So he didn't have manhood before he got deployed? I don't think so.
All right. Anyway, Marcy, thank you for your call.
Wait. I don't like the fact that she made that point that I don't get to follow up.
What point?
She says her husband got manhood being deployed 3 times. And I'm saying that when I played football, I could have had my neck broke every single solitary Sunday. And you don't think that that's the same, you know, what your husband gone through?
No, my husband has been overseas away from everything.
That is unbelievable.
Away from the entire world and could be blown up any second and not even know. If you see a guy charging you, you obviously have somewhat of a defense. My husband doesn't have a defense when he's rolling over an IED.
You don't. You don't always see the man charging you. You go up for a pass, and there's a guy who's going to blindside you. And the next thing you know, your head is flopping back and forth like a rag doll because there ain't no neck left. That's the point I'm trying to make.
All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Daryl Weber as he talks about professional football players being the same as soldiers. Don't boo them. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, I didn't like her getting the last word. I don't like that.
Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. We're talking about a quote, a comment from a New York Giant football player this week on a radio show in which he said, you don't boo your players. You don't boo your team. He was very upset with the New York Giant fans this past weekend booing the Giants. He made the point that they're 7-4. They're a good team. Don't boo your team. And then he went on to say that football players, like our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, should not be booed because they're out there putting their life on the line. With me is Daryl Weber, a former professional football player in both the United States and Canada. And Daryl, surely when you hear him say the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know there's a difference between football players, athletes, and those guys. And one of our callers, a lady, just made the point, they're entertainers.
I wish that lady was still on the line because she was able to get in a good point. And I don't think it was fair to go to your commercial before I was able to make my point, which would have made her look bad, because I'm not trying to make her look bad, but here's what I'm saying. I'm out on a football field on a Sunday afternoon. I'm trying to do my job. I could risk getting my neck broke. I could risk getting a very serious injury and dying on that football field, and I'm doing that in front of 60, 70,000, 80,000 people. I don't think, I'm not sure, but I don't think a soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan, if he is out doing his job and he has 80,000 people in a grandstand someplace looking on, cheering and all of this, or booing every time, booing every time he gets shot down, I think he probably, you know, find that very pressure packed. So I think if you put a soldier in a football stadium with 80,000 people, I think he's going to be about as good as I am if I had 80,000 people and I'm a soldier.
Oh, come on, man. He's a professional soldier.
Well maybe not the same way, but I'm saying that we don't know. You can't compare me because I'm there getting my neck broken in front of 80,000 people. He's there getting his neck broken in front of nobody except a goat, you know, and I don't mean to say it's not a comedy, I know that, but he's going to get shot down in front of just wind, you know, and rocks.
Well, so what? I mean, the guy is out there risking. This is a real risk of death every step of the way with a soldier. And with a football player, it is a risk of death in a particular situation, but not every single play. You're risking death, for instance, on a punt?
Special teams, well, that shows what you know, Mr. Henry, with all due respect. Special teams is when most of these injuries occur. You go down on special teams, you're rushing a punt, you're rushing a kickoff. You know, so yeah, every single play.
All right, but to say that a soldier in front of 80,000 people, what does that mean? I don't understand. So you should be respected?
It's a much more difficult situation for me to get my neck broken in front of 80,000 people and a soldier gets shot and all there is rocks and wind.
Rocks and wind. All right, 877-876-PHIL. That man is defending his country, sir. And you say you're defending somebody's manhood?
Yeah, American manhood, which is the country of America.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to another phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show with Daryl Weber. We have Laura in Rapid City, South Dakota. Laura, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Wow, it takes a lot to get me offended, but you, sir, I think have just topped my list. The talk about having a silver spoon in your mouth. I am in the military, sir, and I want you to think about President Obama just gave a soldier in this country what the nation's highest honor for saving his brethren. War is not a spectator sport. It is a serious deal where people want to kill not only me as a soldier, my family, but you. You. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten 9/11? Have you forgotten the afterwave of anthrax that we were protecting? Why don't you ask that soldier who just got our nation's highest honor? Why don't you ask the men who stormed the beaches of Normandy? Why don't you ask the men who got shot down
in
Vietnam and Korea?
Who's all dead?
Well, the men on the beach of Normandy, all the old men are dead.
If you think you are even close to being on the same level as them, not even close.
Ma'am, correct me if I'm wrong, but you being female, it's not very likely you're going to be in combat. Am I right about that? I said you being female, it's not very likely you're going to be in combat. Am I right about that? I don't know.
Excuse me? Yes, I am an aircraft maintainer, and I actually think that Marines and SEALs, Navy SEALs, and Special Forces, they are away from their families 18, 24, right, 36 months out of a year. How many times when you were in the NFL did you get to sit down to a dinner with your family? How many times did you get to sit down with your family? I think I have spoken with, the whole time I've been married, I've spoken more to my husband over the video cam of a computer.
Well, why'd you get married? Why did you get married then? Why'd you get married if all you're going to do is look at them through a video camera?
Nation's military protecting you.
It doesn't make any sense if you're only going to see them on a video
camera.
Wait,
listen to me. I'll tell you what I did. The second that I saw those planes go into the towers, I was in high school. As soon as I got out and I saw that statue of Saddam Hussein go, I went and walked into the recruiter's office. What did you do? You got paid over $1 million, I bet. What didn't you do?
2001? I wasn't playing football. I retired from football in 1989.
All I remember is what you guys had was something called practice.
You practiced for that.
If you don't want to get your neck broken, then you don't play. Don't tell me don't fight and don't get married. Baloney. You don't get married.
I don't know why you got married.
Your family for getting killed.
You got married, and all you do is complain about the fact you can only see your husband on a video camera, and I just wondered why you did that.
Why didn't you divorce your family because you were gone to an away game?
I was not able to see my family. I couldn't see my family the whole season because I was in a hotel, and then we're on a bus, and every week I could get my neck broke in front of 90,000 people. Now, all I'm asking is, if you
don't... Go to college. Get a job.
I did have a job.
Why don't you go be a lawyer?
I did have a job. I had a job.
Apparently, no, you didn't because you had to play football to get it. If you didn't want to risk your life, then go to college and get another job.
I did want to risk my life. I did it for you and for your husband and for your little kids so they can go and...
You for me because I didn't ask you. You asked me to do this.
Well, I didn't ask you to do that.
You volunteer for this. You asked me.
No, I didn't.
I didn't ask you
to do it. I didn't ask you.
You should leave this country if you do not appreciate what these men and women do.
You should leave. You should leave this country if you don't appreciate the National Football League.
In the night.
You don't appreciate the National Football League. You should leave.
What kind of a comment is that?
This lady does not. You do not appreciate what the National Football League has done for you, for your son, for your husband.
What they have done for you. How many people are walking around with a Kansas City Chiefs tattoo or a shirt on their back, paying their hard-earned military money for you?
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
I'll tell you what. I'm never, ever walking through the doors of a stadium again because of you.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask them. When they're over in Iraq and Afghanistan and the Super Bowl is played,
I challenge you to go on TV, don't they? And ask them how they feel about this conversation. Look up one.
You know what they'll say? Well, you know what they'll say? They'll say, thank you for having the Super Bowl over in Afghanistan. We could see it on TV. And we had bets and everything.
If it wasn't for the men and women in the military, you'd be...
Wait a minute. This is a ridiculous conversation.
engaged in German. I already speak German.
I think you're upset because you can't make any valid points against me. You're losing it every step of this conversation.
No, I've been scoring. I've been scoring left and right.
Why don't you speak up and ran back.
Well, I'm listening to the two of you. The one point you made here, Daryl, was that you said the soldiers have the Super Bowl in Afghanistan?
Yeah, on Armed Forces Television. And every time we go over there, they want an autograph. See, so they love everything we do, and they watch the football game on TV, and they bet on the game. And in the Super Bowl, they will say, "I'm Army Specialist so and so," and a shout out to all of my brother homeboys in there in Kansas City. So we keep their morale up, and while I'm keeping their morale up, I risk getting my head busted to the point where my head is flopping around like a Raggedy Ann doll. See, this lady, she doesn't appreciate that, is what I'm trying to say. She's laughing at me because I got a broken neck.
No, I'll tell you right now. I had a chance to go out and see a concert when I was deployed or whatever.
In a wheelchair.
Because I didn't have to sit in the trench for 4 hours at that moment when I got to. But
exactly.
I had to go to work afterwards
exactly right.
to do that.
That's exactly
it's
right.
They're not doing it for you. They want to break. They are tired.
They are. I'm doing it for them.
They might get a chance to sit on TV and maybe their wives can see them. See, they're actually alive because they haven't been able to talk in 3 weeks. I don't believe you.
I think you are arrogant, silver spoon in your mouth, because you're hogging the phone. And Laura, if you'd stop hogging the phone, maybe they could call home.
All right.
But she's not all this crack about it. You know, lady, you probably hogging the phone. They can't get on it to call their wife. And I would say this.
Because I know that the morale is boosted when the football players go there and all kinds of guys, and it's great, and they can watch the ball game. And that's a good thing that you guys do. But to say that you are equal to them in terms of the risk.
All I'm asking, and this lady can't answer the question, how good a job would you do if you had 80,000 people cheering and booing every day you went out to do your job?
I'll tell you, 80,000 people wouldn't want to see the torment and torture and the disaster
and stuff that goes on in war. No.
You do not want to see that.
Yeah. They're watching football. They watch football, same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
That guy got his leg busted in the opposite direction, and it was right there on TV.
That's way, way less than what's going on in a war zone when people are suffering horrific injury.
Life expectancy as a radio operator is 30 seconds in a combat zone. 30 seconds. What is your life expectancy? 86 years.
They need to train them better. That's number one. Number two, my life
expectancy. Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Are you talking about the guy lives for 30 seconds? Don't you think he needs better training than that?
What's that mean?
The guy's only lasted 30 seconds. I need to get a man in there that can do his job longer than that.
30 seconds because he's in a combat area, man, and he's taking fire, and he's in a war zone. That's why.
And I'm out on a football field, and any given minute, my head's going to flop.
What is it with the head flopping? Is that the broken neck?
Yeah.
Okay, Laura, thank you very much. Thank you for your service to our country and your husband. We appreciate your call this evening. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Reggie in New York City, listening on WWRL. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Phil. First, I want to say, After any NFL football game, how many body bags are lined up outside the stadium? None.
You know, I was going to say, it depends on how many drums they got to pull out. Out of the stadium? Outside of the stadium or where? Because they don't always die. You'll die in the going back to the hotel.
5,000 soldiers died last year in Iraq. How many football players died?
No.
How many football players died?
5,000 soldiers died in the last 7 years. That's not 1 year. Get your facts
right. Okay, well, how many football players died in the last 7 years? On the football field.
I don't know. They won't release
the information.
They won't release the information. I don't know.
What do you mean they won't release the information?
We don't know if they die on the way back to the hotel, if they die in the hotel. There's no...
That's another problem I have with your comments. After the football game, you go back to the hotel, you lay around, you get massage, you go to parties, you guys go have celebrations or whatever, tailgate parties and this and that. No, in Iraq, there is not one tailgate party. These guys are praying to God that they get out of this situation.
Wait a minute. In Iraq, they got to watch the Super Bowl. I just got done telling a lady they have a
tailgate. They get to watch I Love Lucy, too.
Big deal.
What you talking about?
My thing is this is just another case of an overpaid guy. See, I work in right in the middle of Brownsville, and this exact area in ground zero, and I make minimum wage close to minimum wage, my man. I have to feed my family. Because that's not logical. Some of us have to work, all of us don't make billions and billions of dollars.
I have to defend this country.
One more thing I want to make a comment on. See, I live in New York. And in New York, it's a tradition to boo our all-stars. Patrick Ewing, I used to watch Patrick Ewing get food every night. Every night, Patrick
Ewing. That's very unpatriotic. It's unpatriotic to boo the ball player because he's out there getting his neck busted.
Oh, what is it with you, man? You know, booing in sports is almost a God-given right. I mean, if we can't go to a sports event and boo, then what's the point?
Okay, so why don't you go over to Iraq and boo them? Because it's the same thing.
And because they're saving our lives over in Iraq. Because they're saving our lives. Whose lives have you saved? How many lives have you saved playing football?
I can't count. I don't know. They're probably in the millions, the lives I've saved from somebody.
Okay, very good answer.
Unbelievable.
Okay, you don't believe him.
Here's another guy who spent his whole college career on the football field and didn't crack one book to find out anything logical to say in response to your comment.
I mean, this is ridiculous. When I was in college, What has your team done for me? What has the NFL done for me,
as a matter of fact? Absolutely nothing but take my money. That's all they've done.
We saved millions of people's lives by giving people something to do on Sunday and reinforce their manhood.
They can do a whole bunch of other stuff on Sunday.
Like, there ain't nothing to do on Sunday. If I go to church, you know that. What do you mean nothing to do on Sunday? See, the way you two are laughing at me is a very unpatriotic. That's the point that young man made, Roel.
What about me? I work as a security guard near ground zero.
All right.
Not one time has anyone ever acknowledged a security guard. I'm here first responding
to
the
Lord. You got there late.
But if I ask for a raise, I get fired.
You got there late. You are a security guard after the plane got crashed into the building. If you'd been there before, somebody appreciates you.
I was four blocks away.
When the thing went down. Exactly. I think, you know what, and I got to take a break. Reggie, I've heard from a lot of people that were at Ground Zero as workers who survived, who don't really, nobody acknowledges them. Everybody talks about the people that died, but not really the people that survived the trauma of that. So you're not alone. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line here Daryl Weber talking about the how unpatriotic it is for people to boo professional football players the same way as soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
What happened to the young man? I want to talk. What happened to him? It's a security guard.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, not playing.
You retired. We're back here with Daryl Weber, former professional football player. As we talk about Entrell Roll, who made the comment that don't boo your team. It's the same as booing soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq, which you did take exception with the way he said it, but you essentially agree with that. Now, you mentioned that you were injured.
Essentially ended my career, Phil. I mean, I played 8 years, but you should be able, as a defensive back, you play into your early 30s.
And what ended your career?
I had a broken bone in my ankle. But I had to go through not only the broken ankle, but the embarrassment. If you see a video replay, you'll see my leg is just flopping. It just dangled. And as I was getting on the stretcher, you could see my leg was just swinging back and forth like it's on a, just nothing connecting it. And that's embarrassing, you know. The embarrassment of that young kicker, the Washington Redskin, where he had to dive for the ball on a missed kick, and he got a knee right in his face. He walks off the field, and he's got a smashed
scrunched-up face. People laughing at that. But I would tell you other thing. Mike Utley, Chris Canales, Daryl Stingley. You know these people.
Yeah, these are all guys who were paralyzed, and it's a very, very brutal and tragic eventuality. But I think somebody made the point, that gentleman who called from New York, how many body bags are lined up outside a stadium after a game? Here is Calvin in Jackson, Mississippi. Calvin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Daryl Weber. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Daryl, I'm getting a nice meal of bed here. You got to stay safe. And how can you compare? I mean, I met Earl Campbell, me is my idol, and Bob Phillips.
I played against Earl Campbell, yeah.
And he never
played it.
And right now he's coaching out in Texas, the Ivy League, and he can't walk, he's in the wheelchair. But he would never, ever compare himself to a soldier.
Yeah,
have you ever been over
him?
Have you ever been over to a war?
I wouldn't compare myself as I was Earl Campbell. You wouldn't compare yourself because I could tackle him with like one arm, you know.
What are you talking about?
You're saying Earl Campbell, right?
Yeah.
I could trip him. He would run by me, I'd trip him.
What are you talking about? That guy
was a
bull. That guy was one of the best running backs in the league back then.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I played against him, and Earl Campbell, I could take him down. All I had to do is stick my leg out and go, hey, Earl, look at that. I said, it looked to me like they got a free hot dog up there. And he looked really, and I tripped him. So
get out of here.
I got to go, okay, because I got my season tickets to hockey.
Phil Henry.